Ross Baker is a distinguished professor of political science at Rutgers University. He's one of the brightest men I have ever known. As a political scientist, I can tell you that I'm not in love with all of them, but he's terrific. And so my question then to you, Ross, is about Paul Ryan. What's his legacy as Speaker going to be?
Negligible. I think that Paul Ryan, who did not want the job, very often acted as if he didn't care to perform it in a particularly forceful or effective way. He was hampered throughout his time by the Freedom Caucus, which is a group of conservative Republican House members who have just a fundamentally different approach to government than Paul Ryan did. Although Ryan is was conservative by any measure, the Freedom Caucus is kind of the amen corner for President Trump. And there were times that Ryan was distinctly uncomfortable being the Speaker of the House with Donald Trump in the White House. There are things that even he, as a very reliable partisan, simply could not accept silently, things that Trump said that were particularly outrageous. I think his speakership really is a failure. I think that in time, the tax reform bill, the signal accomplishment of the Trump administration thus far, will be seen as a terrible mistake, as a disaster as far as deficit is concerned, and a real blow to our national financial integrity.
It's pretty well known that he thought he was going to be president of the United States if he played his cards right. That's not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. No, he's going to be in private life, and this was a very unwilling speaker.
Yeah.
But Paul Ryan is a numbers guy. He was insanely happy as chairman of the Budget Committee. He became even more delighted to be the chairman of Ways and Means. He did not want to be Speaker.
And
it was just a different kind of job. To be chairman of the premier committee in the House of Representatives, the Tax Writing Committee, was the fulfillment of a boyhood dream for Paul Ryan. But being speaker of an unruly caucus filled with people whose political objectives were basically to shut down government or to shrink government as much as possible, and that was pretty much their objective, Paul Ryan found himself dealing with people who were unwilling to compromise, rigid in their beliefs, and militant in their language.
Now, Ross Baker, as long as you raise Ways and Means, I live in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, which, of course, is now well within the district of the oncoming chair of the Ways and Means Committee, and the next district, where Jim McGovern is about to be chairman of the Rules Committee. Richie Neal, my congressman, McGovern in the next district, Western Massachusetts. That's a lot of power for one part of the country, isn't it?
I would certainly say so, and certainly it's the least populous part of Massachusetts.
Without question.
Right. It's really interesting how very often power devolves on people who represent very atypical constituencies. I mean, Ryan's in some ways was the much more likely place to represent. But that area of Wisconsin is, kind of conservative, even though there's a lot of industry there. I think that Neal and McGovern are in ideal positions. I mean, certainly Neal, in terms of, really being the guy who has the ability to write the tax laws, and McGovern, as head of the Rules Committee, even more important in some ways, because the Rules Committee, unlike the sort of bland title of the committee, is a control committee. It's a committee that is run by the Speaker, and it basically makes decisions about which bills will get out on the floor and voted on. you know, whether they will get there at all, if they do get there, whether they'll be amended or not. It's an enormously powerful job.
Do these guys have to worry about the new kids on the block coming up behind them? In other words, people who, you know, say, we want more power, we want it right now. Now you have two senior members there. I don't think there's a more leftist candidate for that title than McGovern, to be honest with you. My friend Richie Neal is more centrist. Nevertheless, still got these kids coming up and saying, throw out all the old guys and put us in.
Well, that's right. I mean, Massachusetts offers another example, Michael Capuano.
Sure.
A liberal's liberal by any measure.
Yep.
And gets knocked off by this newcomer, Ayanna Pressley. Why? And was there any policy difference between them? Negligible. It's just that she was new blood, and people, you know, on occasion will turn out the most experienced people and replace them with people who are low in seniority and low in influence.
Like Joe Crowley. Exactly.
Joe Crowley and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York. I mean, Crowley was, you know, a reliably liberal vote on almost everything. But for, you know, for one thing, of course, the district demographically was shifting underneath him.
Sure.
And, you know, it had become much more Latino, and clearly, I mean, she was an extremely good candidate. She's received a great deal more attention than I think she deserves, but nonetheless, she's getting it. She's become a player, but it's important to note that a newly elected House member generally ends up having very little power. They're not likely to be appointed to the most important committees, Ways and Means, or Rules, or Appropriations. You know, they're stuck in Science and Technology, or one of the other lesser committees. So, there's occasionally a kind of push to sort of get rid of the old guys and put some new people in. And 2018 was one of those years.
And speaking of which, let's talk about Pelosi and the speakership. We only got a minute and a half to do it in, but I wonder if you'd be so kind to tell us whether you had any doubt that she would end up with the gavel in her hand.
None whatsoever. I think that Nancy Pelosi is a politician who is unusually gifted. I think she is someone who, I think her manner sometimes belies that backbone of stainless steel. She's an indomitable fundraiser. She is an extraordinary tactician. She knows how to use carrots and she knows how to use sticks. She prefers to use carrots, but when sticks are called for, she will apply the lash with tremendous elan.
Ross Baker, distinguished professor of political science at Rutgers University, an old friend and a guy who I'm pleased calls himself a political scientist, because we have a lot of other guys who count how many rats are in a room, but he does it the right way. And thank you so much for being with us, Ross. When we come back the next time, let's talk about what else? Mueller.
Always a pleasure, Alan.